Welcome back to another week at Drone DJ, and we took a week off last week for the Easter weekend. Back with five stories for you this week, starting off with a drone interceptor, which looks interesting with a building net. And then obviously more leaked details on the rumored DJI Mini 3 is probably the most leaked DJI drone I've seen so far. Number three, we've also got an update on a drone 3D modeling software. So if that's something you're looking for, especially before, you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, before the season, the survey season starts, SkyBros has slashed their subscription cost by 20%. Then number four, updates from football games. Apparently they're using FPV drones, and we've got a mixed feedback from the audience on that. And last one, on the enterprise side, if you're into drone taxi, the news is Eve and Telus had partnered together to speed up the eVTOL development. Well, that should be interesting. And back to you, Kirk. Let's kick off with the story you found on the drone interceptor. Let me just share the screen so we can take a look at this.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to try to pronounce the creator's name. He is originally from Ukraine, but now now he's working for another European country. But kind of created this based off of a racing drone, this interceptable drone that allows you to shoot its propellers out. It has like a kind of like a net gun on it with a net. It's kind of like one of those like crazy like James Bond type tools that like they have just to shoot it out. And it's hilarious to watch this thing fly, because of course it has a very high power to weight ratio like a racing drone. And so when it pops out of its little container box, it just flies out. It just rockets out straight up, and it's pretty simple. It's just, you know, kind of imagine an FPV drone with kind of like a cone in the middle of it that kind of houses all the camera and all the systems that it has. And while it kind of flies, it can find the drone and then it can shoot out its propeller. So it kind of like, I don't want to say kills itself, but like it's still functional afterwards, but like kind of like just disables its being able to fly. And then by doing that, this is more of a prototype, and based off the technology, it gets a patent. So it's not necessarily like a final draft, but the system is the propellers can spread out the net, as well as continue to propel it forward towards the drone that it's trying to intercept. And then it pops a parachute, which you can see in the video. And then it kind of, it falls somewhat gently back down to the ground.
So my question is, who's flying this, right? Does it come with an FPV pilot?
They mentioned that a racing pilot can easily be able to fly it. There's not a lot of those out there. but I'm sure it's probably an FPV based, you know, kind of just system. So if you're a good FPV pilot, you could probably maneuver this thing. It does come with like two different like control modes, apparently. You can switch back and forth, and actually showing them right now in the video, it kind of like one controls it more like an airplane and one controls it more like an FPV drone. So I don't know the different, I guess one's kill mode, they call it. So it's very interesting, and it's very much just like FPV, but all of a sudden, yeah, it has a net gun on it.
Maybe it's a new game. Right. Maybe the new FPV game is everyone flies this and tries to shoot their competitors out of the sky.
I could see Call of Duty putting that in their game. Oh, yeah. Here's a new thing.
Well, okay. The bet is on. So, Kirk, if you can get your hands on one, we'll play the Tom and Jerry game, right? I'll fly the regular drone. You can try to use the net to catch it down.
I don't think I'm going to get that far off the ground. You might win.
We shall see. Well, if you're interested in seeing one, leave your comments. Please let us know in the comments down below, and we'll try to get our hands on one.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to Mini 3, I have to say this is probably, I mean, we see drone leaks all the time, right, before they hit the market. But rarely we see a retailer that accidentally just puts out all the information. I wonder if it's a PR stunt. But now we have pricing as well as every last bit of detail. I mean, everything except getting our hands on one and showing you, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like everything that's coming up with the upcoming Mini 3 Pro, it's pretty much leaked from this site. I believe it's a Dutch site or another, I think it's a Dutch site, yeah, published like their entire page for the upcoming Mini 3 with the controller and the batteries and all that stuff. I don't think the M30 leaked almost entirely as well. I mean, that's a whole nother division of DJI, like the enterprise division. So yeah. It's not just their consumer brand, it's also their enterprise brand. It has just massive leaks coming out of it.
I feel like just more interest, more public interest is on the Mini 3, right? Mm-hmm. I've already got lots of pilots asking me, when is it coming out? I'm looking to upgrade my Mini 2 because the killer feature is really the obstacle avoidance, which yep. we don't have. I mean, we've suspected that when Autel did their release on the Nano and Nano Lite, right? We already suspected the Mini 3 was going to come back with obstacle avoidance, and it did. So that's the one piece I'm really interested in. And then plus, you know, the gimbal tilting up, I always mm-hmm. like that from the Parrot and Effie. I thought that was a cool thing. But I also want to see how much of the propellers actually get in the way if you have the gimbal tilting up, especially with the wide angle adapter, right?
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to the software. I mean, DJI has just the best software out there. I mean, Autel, I've flown. We talked about Autel Lite Plus's tracking, issues. It's just because Autel doesn't really. It's just they don't have the resources to put into it like DJI does. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to seeing. Is just how all the software kind of like works with obstacle avoidance and all the any other features that comes out with it, in the future.
Usability is definitely key. Mm-hmm. I'm really hoping, now we're turning a little more to software side. So I'm really hoping if you look at the pre-programmed flights, like softwares, third-party software you can install on, let's say, a DJI drone. You've got Drone Deploy, Pix4D, and Skybrowse is also, entering the market. On the photography side, there's also a software called Lychee. Right, that you can mm-hmm. do waypoint flights and program, panorama and different things. So I'm interested to see which one of those can actually support Mini 3. We know Drone Deploy already supports the Air 2S, which is on the DJI Fly app. So now I'm really interested to see, because that's really the one piece I'm looking forward to from Mini 3, because it's sub 250.
Yeah.
So even some of the Beyond Visual Line of Sight projects we do, I love just put Mini 2 out there because it's low risk, so at least we can assess the situation. But I was really hoping to be able to program the flight, like how we would do for an actual BB loss Beyond Visual Line of Sight flight, is you program the flight, right? You don't manually fly it. So it'd be interesting to see if any of these software would actually support Mini 3.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see whenever we get to play with one.
So on that note, if you are looking to kick off the survey season, with 2D, 3D modeling software, Skybrowse is slashing their subscription prices by 20%. So I'm definitely going to give it a try because we use both Drone Deploy and Pix4D for different projects or environments. We're going to give the new one a try and see if it works.
Yeah, I am not necessarily as knowledgeable in the 3D software space, but yeah, if you're going to be looking for one, 20% off is probably pretty good. It's a good price to get right into the season with.
Subscription is not cheap on any of the cloud-based processing, either for architecture, for infrastructure, or for survey, right? It's mm-hmm. it's not cheap. I mean, you could look at, if you look at Drone Deploy, it could easily be $400, $500 US per month.
Yeah, I bet.
Next, drones at football game. Well, I mean, FPV flying for sports is nothing new. I guess this is the first sort of the mass public, right, use mm-hmm. At one of the major games.
Yeah, the MLB played around with it at a college game not that long ago as well. And I don't know, there was no video of it out there.
No, it's just more of an announcement. This one is actually public, right?
This one we actually have, USFL, which is the new football league in I don't know if they have teams outside the U.S. yet. I haven't really looked into it. I'm sorry. I'm a bad football fan. But they are doing some drone flight. And there's some mixed reviews. I guess I liked it, but I guess I don't get motion sickness that much. Like, I don't.
People saying that way too much going on, too much crosstalk, dizzy yep. drones, less tech and more pure football. That's an interesting comment. The other one was making me seasick. So there was a comment mm-hmm. about saying making them a little seasick. But there were also good comments of saying providing, good angle and just a different perspective, right? Trying something new.
Yeah, and I especially love, I mean, I don't think they're doing a lot of, I think, college, like, stadiums. And so in the NFL stadiums, they have, like, the I don't know what they're called, sky cranes, I think they're called, mm-hmm. where, like, they're the wires across.
Yeah, the cable cam.
The cable cam, yeah. And then, so they can do a lot of this stuff, but just on a cable. A lot of these college stadiums, like, don't have that stuff set up. And so they kind of had to get creative. And I mean, you can kind of set one up on the fly. You pay the company to do it. But just having someone do a drone is probably way cheaper and different. And that's kind of what the USFL is trying to do, is be different from the NFL. And I kind of liked it on kickoff. I mean, they could definitely, like, tone it down maybe a little bit. I didn't watch a full game of how much it got cut, but just seeing the part that they used for the kickoff, it, like, started on one end of the field, went through all the teams, and then kind of did, like, a big up and then came back down, like, you know, to kind of do it again. And it does feel a little, little shaky, little annoying to watch, like, all the different shaking. And I can't imagine being a player and having to, like, deal with that, because it was getting
pretty close. You can tell
it's getting real close, and it's probably getting really annoying too, to have just a buzzing noise.
I'm surprised you don't have them actually looking at the drone, right? Almost like looking directly into the camera. That would be interesting.
I didn't see what drone they're using though.
It does feel like FPV.
It's got to be FPV, but because, like, especially, like, in this angle right here where it's, like, hovering, mm-hmm. but, like, it's, you can tell that it can't hover, like, or it can, but, like, it's very shaky, like, yeah. very, like, sensitive. Yeah. So they're definitely not using, like, an Inspire or anything like that.
Is that a cable cam at the back? I thought I saw.
Maybe they do have cable cams, but yeah. Well, they do have one back set up right there. So yeah. Who knows? Like, they're just trying to be different, and I kind of like it. It's kind of cool. Maybe tone it down a little bit.
I always thought that first person view perspective was kind of, you know, interesting. It's just I think there needs to be a better coordination, right? Mm-hmm. And even more interaction with the actual players, maybe looking into the camera, say something or do something. I thought that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Like, just having it be more melded in and have it not just be like the entire thing.
But like you said, if you're looking to attract more attention, then they got it, right?
They definitely got it. Yeah. If they weren't flying drones, we wouldn't be talking about them. So I guess they won. So
there you go. Let's see if they have improvements.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, yeah, this week, I think they have more games. So we'll see.
On the enterprise side, we're seeing that for eVTOL, which is your electric vertical takeoff and landing, mostly, you know, those drone taxis we're seeing Eve and Thales are partnering up. So Thales is obviously a big player, right? Lots of infrastructure, you know, railway, aviation, as well as military government contracts. So that's a really large international company. So if they're partnering together, it's definitely pushing, you know, eVTOL development as an industry is definitely going to be faster. So that's an interesting piece of news to see.
And at the end of the article, which Bruce Cumley wrote, it gives them about $500 million, Eve, now to kind of put back into the company, which is in the last paragraph. And, like, that's a lot of money. For eVTOL to kind of, like, fund.
Yeah, it was expected, an expected evaluation of $2.4 billion. That's a lot.
I don't know. eVTOL is definitely, like, it's just getting so much love and so much, you know, money. A lot of people, I think, see that is a very much, is the future of how transportation is going to be ran. A transportation or cargo transportation, any sort of stuff, like whether or not you're talking about people or cargo,
because we covered a story several weeks ago when we talked about a uncrewed cargo planes being mm-hmm. manufactured or the orders being placed, and they were talking about 25% of the cost for those cargo transport was on the piloting crew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if they can reduce that, then definitely. I mean, even just think about crew turnover time, right? if you can remove that and then have the crew on the ground from station to control it remotely, then that's definitely putting it into a different league.
Yeah, we're already seeing it on the ground with you know, Walmart and Amazon, whatever, like in their warehousing, trying to move it away from humans and put it on automation because it's just so much cheaper. And when something breaks down, it's so much, you know, it's you can replace it, but you know, when you know, people get sick, you know, they can be gone for months, you know, or days or something like that, you know, like instead of it being just a, you know, a quick fix or having redundancy that just has to sit there. You just got to turn it on. So
definitely interesting to see where this development leads. I'm hoping it's going to reduce my shipping cost or international shipping.
Yeah, okay. Probably not. they'll still gouge you for that money.
Right. It's just going to increase someone's profit margin.
They'll increase
right?
their profits, probably.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Great. So those are all the pieces of the stories. And I'm really hoping, you know, last week we took a week off for Easter, and I was hoping maybe we could do the Easter egg hunt with my Mini 2, and weather just wasn't allowing. I know, Kirk, you managed to get a little bit of flight time, but I really couldn't get much of flight time last weekend. It was super windy here.
I didn't get busy, like my schedule didn't let me do it last weekend, but I did get to fly a little bit yesterday with the Nano Plus. And sadly, though, like I kind of went out there just to fly it because I finally got the firmware working on it, which for anyone wondering, it was more user error than Altel's fault at this point, but it did get working. And make sure you're running a fast enough SD card on your drone. Don't use the cheap ones. I don't know why I did. It's just I popped it out. I'm like, oh, that's not the right SD card. That's gonna be way too slow. I put up in the air and it just was too windy. It did handle it pretty well, but it was like just angled the entire time trying to count the wind, so I couldn't even turn it one way, so I just I landed it and kind of packed up, went back home.
Because for us, we're trying to just on our new flight location, we're planning for event days throughout the year this year, more for people coming, especially with the SEP 250 drones, right? More mm-hmm. for people to come in for team build days or just having fun. So we're actually staging, so we have over 100 acres, so we're mm-hmm. staging, you know, different locations almost as a treasure hunt.
Nice.
And it would be like 2-3 either family or a corporate team, you know, 2-3 person. They will be given a map and one person will be flying the drone, one person looking at the monitor, right? Try to, like, one person actually going there trying to get the treasure, like looking for items. So we really hoped to try to simulate that, like testing out you know, the different locations on site over the Easter, like try to simulate a Easter egg hunt through drone, but it was just way too windy over the weekend. So I'm really hoping next week when we come back, we can start having or adding a little segment to you. What did we fly this week?
That would be fun to see.
Definitely. So thanks for joining us this week. Again, we'll update the video description with all the article details. If you'd like to check any of them, or if you have any comments or suggestions, please leave them in the comments down below. And we'll see you back next Friday.